You know, I've always been a big proponent of investing in what I call targeted conferences, targeted events where you can meet people. You know, what a concept, getting out of your office, right? Getting out of your home office. It really isn't so much about what you learn in these events as it is about the people you meet, the conversations you have, you know, at the coffee station, at the bar, you know, the networking that you kind of do ad hoc in the evenings. And of course, the insights you gain from these conversations and these kind of out of the room or off class, off workshop or conference conversations and interactions. So, you know, in other words, the intangible things that no one could really put a price on, you know, the event promoters can talk about these things, but they know it's very difficult to really make that tangible, right? So they talk about the education you'll get there. And many times I feel that we sign up for these conferences because of the material, right? What we feel we're going to learn. But if you've, you know, done, if you've gone about it in any close to any strategic way possible, you know that the real value at the end of the day are these little things I've just mentioned, right? And they're not really little, but they're things that you didn't expect. You kind of knew they would probably happen, but once you walk away from the event, you realize, wow, you know, I couldn't have predicted that. I couldn't have created, you know, that kind of value. I couldn't have plan for it, although as we'll talk about today, you can plan for some of it. I'm the first to admit that I don't always get the most value from the conferences that I attend and even the ones I speak in. And I'll be very transparent here. I haven't in the past done a good job planning before the event, executing during the event based on my plan, and doing things that I have to do after the event to get the most value. And to be honest, I don't think I've done it because I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. And many times there's just so many ideas floating around and so many things that I think I should be doing that it's overwhelming and I end up doing nothing, you know, or at least not the things that are really high value. If this sounds familiar, if you've kind of struggled with this before and you've kind of walked out of an event going, wow, you know, that was cool. I'm glad I attended and I met some great people. I planted some seeds and I walked away with some knowledge, but I feel like I could have gotten more out of it. So if that's you, if you've ever felt that way, you're really going to enjoy this interview. And I brought in my good friend, Coach Jen Lee, to share some super practical tips and ideas that we can all use. And, you know, when Jen and I started talking about this conversation and in this interview that we were going to have, I said, you know, I think the goal should be to get at least a 10x return on the conferences and events we attend. It's a bold statement when you consider what you're paying to attend, travel, lost time, right? Because if you're a solo business, you are not billing quite often if you're attending the conference. But I'd say add all that up and your goal should be to get at least a 10x return over time from that conference. So with that in mind, you know, Jen kind of dug deep and pulled out some of her best content on what you can do to get those kinds of results. So anyway, without further ado, here's Coach Jen Lee. I'm sitting here with one of my favorite people in the world. Actually, you got to be, Jen, my favorite female coach in the Central Florida area. That I can definitely tell you.
Wow, feeling so special. Well, there's a lot of us here in Central Florida.
Nah, I'm just kidding. You're one of my favorite people. You're one of my favorite guests on the show. You always have very interesting, very relevant topics, and today's going to be no exception. So anyway, welcome.
Thank you. I always love being part of your audience. I love what you guys are doing, so happy to be here.
Today we're going to be talking about yet another relevant topic, and this is one that I've been hearing a lot about lately, and not directly. I haven't had a lot of people tell me, oh, you need to do a show on this, but it's one of those things that people don't realize they need to learn more about because they kind of default to what they think needs to be done, and this is the whole topic of conferences, right? Is it worth going to a conference? If so, how do I get the most value from a conference? And for a solo professional, it's so key because you don't have, like, you know, your employer comping you, right? You don't have someone paying. So you got to pay for your conference fee. You got to pay for your travel, your meals, transportation. And, you know, you got to make sure, man, this stuff's got to pay off. And the question becomes, how do I do that? You know, there's so many sessions I could attend. There's so many people. It's overwhelming. So I think this is, as we kind of start entering conference season, very topical.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was the reason why it was kismet that we reached out to one another at this time, because I was like, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing people who rock the conference world, and they realize that that investment, that $750 to $1,500 investment, if you're going out of town, can really reap them. It could quadruple and continue to feed you over the years if you do it right. And of course, I speak at a lot of conferences, so I see a lot of the don'ts of, like, what are you doing? Why are you standing in the corner? I just want to, like, pull them out with the shy people. And then a lot of people really working a conference really well. So we've broken this down to make it easy for everybody into, like, five topics, right? Like five things, like how to pick the right conference, what to do before the conference, getting on the panel. We've got some stuff we're going to go over. So can we start with, like, how to pick the right conference?
Because you know what? Yes. Let's start there. Before you do that, though, actually, I want to, because you mentioned something, I want to make sure people don't get scared here.
Yeah,
don't a lot be scared. Of introverts in the audience. I want to make sure that this advice is going to pertain to both extroverts and introverts and everyone in the middle.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't have to be total type A to get value from a conference.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, you could almost not even speak at a conference and get a lot of value out of a conference. How about that?
I love it.
All right. Good deal. Yeah.
Be warned. everything goes here.
Everything goes. So the first thing, and this really kind of plays well into what you were just saying, the first thing is how to pick the right conference. And I think what happens many times, and Ed, you probably have seen this, what happens is that, you know, you realize, okay, it's the beginning of the year. All right, I see a bunch of emails with a bunch of conferences. I need to get out of my shell, or I need to get out of the office. So I'm going to go and I'm going to attend three or four different conferences. And most likely two of them or three of them are in your backyard or within driving distance. And so it makes it easy. It's a $90 ticket. But it's really still a couple of days out of your life if you pick the wrong conference, if you don't do it right. So I think it's important to understand why you're attracted to going to a conference. If it's just because you want to go to a conference to network, to get out of the office, to, you know, just be around your own kind, then go into it and pick a conference based on that. If it's that you're looking to sell yourself, to introduce yourself to potential clients, then you've got to look for conferences where you know that's what you're there to do. Even though the other stuff happens, I think it's really important to say, this is my purpose. And then what's the type of conference that I want to seek or find to fulfill that purpose? And it's either selling, you're wanting to go to learn actual, like, training type stuff, or you're going to connect, or you want to inspire. So I think you have to start with answering that question first. Even though you get a little bit of all, but there's got to be a main one, like a lead dog. Like, what's the lead dog in that question? And then match that with a conference that feels comfortable to you. And that's another thing that people do not take into consideration. If you are, you know, there's a conference that comes to Orlando, and I will not name it because I'm making fun of it here in a second, but there's a conference that comes to Orlando and it's for business owners. And I was getting ready to register, and then I saw what they were doing, and they're bringing in, like, acrobats and flamethrowers, and it was like this whole circus theme. And I'm like, that is so not me. I was going to sign up because I wanted to learn something. And so its theme, its approach was so completely different than what I was looking to get out of. It's not my personality whatsoever. So I'm going to be fighting against the grain of being able to even receive the information. Even though they might be delivering amazing information, the format, the way it's being delivered is not conducive to my, you know, kind of bold personality. Believe it or not, I don't want to see flamethrowers. I want to talk to serious people. Does that make sense? conference?
Yeah, totally. So you're talking about two things. One is, what's your objective for each conference? Because they're not all about business development, right?
Right.
I want to learn more about my craft or the specific area, or I want to network, whatever it might be. Just very clear about that. And then the other part is a little bit more subjective, is as I'm looking at the conference website and reading some of the bios and everything about it, does this feel right? Does this feel like the kind of conference I'd want to go to?
Right, because you have to be, the next things that we're going to talk about are all about really engaging within that conference prior to the conference, during and afterwards. So if it's kind of like if you're, you know, looking at a date on Tinder and that picture just does not do it for you, you're not going to swipe and say yes, you know, because you're going to end up on a date with this person. So you want this to be something where you're going to feel comfortable or it feels in line with who you are, because that's really how you're going to be able to maximize your opportunity.
Well, I would add something else too. And I've noticed this a lot with people who are looking to maybe start drumming up some business, not necessarily from the conference, but start developing some relationship, plant some seeds, is, okay, is this the kind of conference where your target audience will be in attendance? Not just the companies, but the roles within the companies. That's the layer that I think a lot of people don't explore.
Yes. Like,
yeah, my audience is high tech companies or software companies. Great. Who's going to be there? If you're a copywriter, you got to make sure there's going to be marketing directors, marketing managers there, not a bunch of CIOs and technical people, because they don't hire copywriters.
Right. And as much as they might love you, you might have this great conversation, they're not going to be able to sell you, because then now you're relying on them to go back to the office to say, hey, marketing manager, I met this, you know, great guy and he can help us with our copywriting. That's what he's going to say. And that doesn't do anything for you. So it's such a good point, Ed.
Yeah.
You want to make sure the right people are there. And sometimes many conferences, depending, many of the conferences will list out not emails or individual names, but they might list out titles of people that are attending, companies and titles. So when you see a conference, dig a lot, or pick up the phone and call the conference promoters and ask them, like, what's the typical type of attendee? Who's coming to this? And sometimes you can tell just from the speaker list, and that would be another way for you to go, hey, if there's four people that are speaking or are on a panel that I'd love to connect with, they're my ideal audience. Some of the tips I'm going to give you here in just a little bit will help you connect with them. And if all you do is just go there to hear them speak and you're able to make a meaningful connection prior, during, and after, it's worth that money to go.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right, pick the right conference. Let's talk about how to go a little bit deeper and do a little bit more than what most people do.
Yeah. So this is the part where I know a lot of our introvert friends out there are like, no way, but it's not as hard as you think. I'm going to encourage everyone to pitch yourself to be on a panel. So let's say you find a conference that you're like, yeah, this is a great conference, and you're 3, 4, 5, 6 months out, and they've just announced it. Pitch yourself. There are usually dig around on the conference and look for opportunities for you to participate on a panel discussion. That doesn't mean you need to be a keynote speaker. It just means that you've got something to share of quality. There'll be a moderator there who will get with you ahead of time, tell you the questions they're going to ask ahead of time 9 times out of 10, and you're able to kind of like put yourself on that panel. And the beautiful thing of doing that is it gets you obviously exposure. It elevates your credibility, you know, big time in your industry, or at least with the people that are attending this conference. And, you know, me, I'm all about like leveraging every action that you take. So, you know, use it like that 15-year-old boy uses a girl in high school. And like, work it. So work it. So, but pitch yourself to be on a panel, or, you know, pitch yourself to work at the conference in a breakout session where maybe you're an assistant or the timekeeper. You know, get yourself somewhat involved in a specific role, not necessarily, hey, I want to check everybody in, but more like, I'd love to help the panel that's talking about social media. I'd love to be the timekeeper. I'm happy to pass out the information. And what happens is you become part of the conference, and you also get a chance to become, have a tad bit of a relationship with the people that are on the panel and the moderators and or the speaker.
You know what I love that is, because I think that is the great, the best gateway, if you will, into bigger things. I think when you tell people, oh, you know, try to become a speaker, that is such a huge leap.
Yeah.
For most people, they're not even going to consider it.
Right.
But a panel, I think, gives you the best of both worlds. You don't really have to prepare. You don't have to develop a presentation. You just show up. I mean, you do a little bit of preparation, but very minimal. Mm-hmm. And you get the exposure that a speaker would get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the exact same exposure. And it's actually even better because you're getting most of the panels, it's questions from the audience. So it's something they're interested in. And if you're the one that's able to answer that question, then you're the superstar. Like, you've just jumped up a million rungs. There are some do's and don'ts on pitching yourself to be on a panel. I would say the first thing to do is just go to the website. There's probably a process. They want you to fill out this form, and it's usually very easy. And actually, I have a cheat sheet on this. So if anybody wants to email me or Ed, I'm sure you'll do a little link. But we'll do a little cheat sheet on this. But it's, you know, it just remember, it's when you're pitching them an idea or you're pitching them on you sitting on that panel, you always just want to remember it's about them, not about you. So the pressure's off of you. That's what I always like to say. Good news, they don't really care about you, so you don't have to talk about you. They really want to know how you can help their audience. So you're going to be talking about them, which is something that most of us are more comfortable in doing. Besides me, I love talking about myself. But for the most part, everybody...
You're not normal.
I'm not normal. That had been determined many years ago. But it's about them. So it's about that expertise. It's about something that you know about that their audience would be interested in. It's usually very brief. It's okay to use your natural personality in it. Sometimes a lot of people like case studies. You could say, hey, you know, based on this topic, I think I would be a good addition to this panel because I had a client that was very similar. So maybe it's like how to conflict resolution within a business environment, or how to fire a client, or, you know, how to, you know, leverage a 10-minute meeting into, you know, a 10-year relationship. You can say, hey, I personally have experienced this, and I've got 3 points that I could share that I know would benefit your audience. And I have a little cheat sheet that would help you with that. But go for it, right? Just go for it, because they're looking for people who are reaching out. Believe me, they have a tough time finding people because they have to Google them, or, you know, they have to ask around. There's like 15 steps in them finding someone to sit on a panel versus a keynote sitting on a panel. So if you're the one that's kind of reaching out, they're like, yes, help me. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Man, that's been one of the biggest revelations for me over the past 5 years is, you know, we always assume on the other side that these content creators or content facilitators, if you will, they have it all figured out. They know exactly who they want. You know, they don't want you, and you're not good enough. It's actually the opposite of that. If you look behind the curtain, these people are desperate for great content creators, great people to present, to be on panels. And if you can, like you said, if you can shave instead of 15 steps, cut it down to 4. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is huge because they are on firefighting mode and you're just making their jobs easier.
Yeah. And it goes back to even when you're pitching the media, it's the same thing. It's peeling back that curtain. I love how you say it. You know, it's like Wizard of Oz. It's just a normal person back there just trying to make it all happen. And if you can make it easy for them, you do not need to be anything more than who you are. You don't need to know anything more than what you already know. You just need to be the person that's willing to tell somebody you've got something to share that's going to benefit them. That's it. That's the person that wins. It's as simple as that. It really is.
You don't have to be a guru. You don't have to have a book. You don't have to have all these things.
No.
You know, in fact, many times they don't want that. They want people, like you said, who could actually talk to the case study. And so don't assume because more 99% of the time you're wrong.
Right. Honestly, you're right. They don't necessarily want the book person because that person's going to stand up there and try to sell something. And that's something they don't want. They want to serve their audience. All right. So pitch yourself to be on a panel and I'll have a cheat sheet for you on that. There's like 10 things, do's and don'ts to the pitch and all that good stuff. But, you know.